Well, there'll be a couple of other passages we'll be looking at today as we like a topical sermon, but we find our text in 1 Thessalonians 5 and the verse 6. We'll be turning to the other passages in our sermon. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6 says, "Therefore, let us not sleep." Let us not sleep. We really have the subject here of sleeping Christians. And we want to look at that today from the word of the Lord. So let's pray, and you pray that God has a blessing to your heart today from his word. Father in heaven, we pray that thou would be with us as we look at thy word together this morning. We thank you for the previous studies. We have been looking at the little phrase, "let us." And I pray that there will be, Lord, a word in season to the hearts of the congregation. A word maybe of rebuke, Lord, to some people. A word of instruction to others. Well, I pray that indeed thou wilt speak to our hearts. I certainly ask for help, Lord, to minister thy word. Well, I ask for the Holy Spirit to be given to us and to be given to the congregation. And Lord, give them wisdom to hear thy word with profit. So I ask you to close us in with thyself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us not sleep. In Trenton, New Jersey, there lived a man who contradicted all the laws of nature regarding sleep. Maybe you heard of his name, Al Herpin. He was a rare man because he never slept, or so he said. And so when this word got out to medical profession, they could not believe it. And they says, "We will go and we will live with this man and we will watch him to see if he sleeps." So off they went to his house. This is going back to the 1940s. And they went into his house. They found no bed. They found no cot. They found nothing whereby this man would lie down upon. He had a rocking chair. And there he sat. And they watched him. Day after day. Week after week. Waiting for him to close his eyes and sleep. And he never slept. It was because of an injury that was caused to him before his birth that he didn't have to sleep. When he eventually died on the 3rd of January 1947, the people says, "Now he's sleeping. Now he's got his sleep." But did he? Did he get his sleep? Because you think about this morning. When you die, you go to the place where you'll never sleep. You go to heaven, you'll never sleep. If you go to hell, you'll never sleep. He was known as a man who never slept. Like I would have to say, I couldn't do it. You would never be sitting too long in my house while I would be over, or vice versa. They tell us, of course, we need about 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep each night. Here our text tells us, "Therefore, let us not sleep." Now, we have to say immediately, this is not a literal text. God is not saying to you and I to be like this man that we read about or spoke about in our introduction, that you're never to go to sleep. It's impossible. God tells us in Psalm 127, verse 2, that he giveth his beloved sleep. God gives his sleep. We all certainly enjoy at the end of each day going to bed and going to sleep. But here we come to a text. And it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep." So what he's speaking here spiritually. And I said to everyone here this morning that there is such a thing as sleeping Christians in the church. Why do I say this? The Apostle Paul is writing to a church. He's writing to the people of God. He's writing this epistle to people who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he's saying to these people, "Therefore, let us not sleep." We're not to sleep, spiritually speaking. Now, think of the "let us." This is the seventh one today. Sorry, we can't carry it on. It could be carried on maybe by the next minister, this little series. Let us go to Bethel. We went up to Bethel. Then let us pray. Well, we went to the place of prayer. Let us go to Bethlehem. That was Christmas morning. We went to Bethlehem. Then let us run the race. Well, we're all ran the race, I hope. And let us walk in the Spirit. Last Sunday was let us love one another. Well, this morning, or the last one together, let us not sleep. And I want to draw some lessons from this, but coming back to the context whereby we find this verse, that'll be my last point. But I want to move it about a wee bit in the Scriptures and bring some what I feel that are very important lessons to the church here and to the church of Jesus Christ. Let us not sleep regarding our children. Regarding our children. All parents here no doubt know and will agree with me that the most precious possessions you have in this world are your children. Not your silver, not your gold, not your homes, not your business, not things, but the most precious possession that God has given to me and to you are our children. Now, I read a verse in Psalm 127, verse 3. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Therefore, God has given us children. You and I are to guard them. We are to watch over them. I'm speaking here, especially when they're young, when they listen to us. We are to watch over our children. Especially in the days of their youth. There's a historical account over in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'll just quote it to you. Two ladies. They were harlots. One of the children died in the night, and the other one rose up and stole her child and left a dead one in her bosom. They were brought before Solomon. And the mother who owned the living child, she was giving her account to Solomon. Here's what you said. "And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept." And I want you to get the context here. She says, while I was sleeping, while it was in the darkness of the night, here's what really happened, King Solomon. This woman came while I was sleeping, and she laid hold of my child, and she took hold of my child, and she left her dead child in my bosom. She took my child. But notice, she took a child while she was sleeping. While she's sleeping. And I think there's a spiritual lesson here for the child of God here. Let's not sleep concerning our children. Here's why. Someone will snatch them away. The devil will snatch away the youth of this congregation. Or the children of your family. If we don't seek to carry out our duty to the best of our ability. Let's not sleep regarding our children. Let's not sleep, can I say, spiritually speaking, in regard in teaching the children the word of the Lord. And it is a duty of every parent here in this congregation, if you have children at home, to get our children together around the word of the Lord and to teach them great truths that come from this book. We are to open up the Bible in our homes. We are to gather our children around the family altar. We are to bring them great truths from God's word. Look at the words that Moses said to the people in Deuteronomy and the chapter 6. In Deuteronomy and chapter 6. And he says unto the people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Chapter 6, verse 4, verse 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And here's what he said to them. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when I sitteth in thine house, and when I walketh by the way, and when I lieth down, and when I riseth up." But notice here, the instruction that came from God to God's servant was, teach the children. Teach the children here the law of God. Get them around you. Open up the book. Teach them. Teach them, he says, diligently. This is very important. for Christian homes to teach the children the Word of God, that they would have a reverence for this book. That they will know this is God's Word. Teach them in the matter of salvation, how they can be saved. That they must be saved. That all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. It was said of young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And listen, from a little child he was taught. He was taught the way of salvation. Dear father and mother in this meeting, you can do nothing more important in your home than to teach your children the Bible. And to teach them the way of salvation. Then you need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Oh, if we fail to teach our children how to be saved, if we fail to teach them the law of God, the scriptures of God, then we'll find the devil will give them something else to read. We find the enemy of the soul will snatch them away. It's happening all around today in our country, in our schools. They've taken out the Bible. We seek to take our children away from God. Are we sleeping? Are we sitting by and letting it happen, friends? We're not to sleep in regard to teaching our children the Word of God. You say, well, I don't really know the Bible. Listen, learn the Bible yourself. There are commentaries out there to teach us, to learn us, to instruct us. But let's seek to teach our children the Word of God. The Bible says we are to do it. But let us not be sleeping about this. Let's not be sleeping in the garden praying for the children. Anybody needs to be prayed for today is our young people. The devil's a lot to offer them in the world today, seeking to draw them out into the world, into immorality and into sin. How can you and I prevent these things? Let's pray for our children. Let's not be sleeping in regard to praying for our sons and daughters and for the children even of this congregation. It says there of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1 verse 27, when she brought Samuel to Eli, she says, for this child I prayed. For this child I prayed. These are tremendous words. These are words of a mother. These are words of a mother. There's mothers today in this meeting. You say there's some things I can't do. But here's one thing you can do. You can pray. You can pray. I know a man back home in Northern Ireland. He was a wild man. He used to drink the bit out and sing. He told a story. He's going to go down to the pub. He's going to go down to the pub to sing and get money for drink. But he needed money to get him started off. So he's gone upstairs to ask his mum for some money just to get the first drink. And when he got the bedroom door, he heard mother praying. He knows she's praying. She says, save Willie. His name was Willie. Save Willie. He never knocked the door. He went down to the bar. And then, of course, he did a singing of the rest of it. But no one was on his mind. Save Willie. Save our Willie. And you know, he got saved. And he served the Lord singing and preaching in his own way, of course. You see, let's pray for our children. Let's not sleep. Let's not give up on our children. Lift them up daily before the throne of grace, before God, you see. Bring their needs. Pray for their salvation if they're not saved. Pray for their sanctification. Remember, it was said in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Pray for their safety. Lead them not into temptation. Pray for their spouse, maybe very young. Say, Lord, when they get older, lead them to someone who's godly, that they have a godly partner in their life. Pray for their service. There are many things to pray for our children. Listen, keep on praying for them. Don't give up praying for your children. People never give up praying for me. People never give up praying for you, child of God, this morning. So I say, let us not sleep in regarding our children. And second, to bring them the word of the Lord here in the church, in the Sunday school, and children's meeting, and home. Let us not be sleeping this matter. This is important. And praying for the young people, and encouraging the young people. Certainly, let's not sleep and bring them to the house of God. Now, I know it's impossible for some people to come twice to church here. I'm not getting away from that. You come a long distance, and that's great to see you once, I have to say that. A credit to people who make the effort here to come to church. It's a drive for miles. We're not too bad in Northern Ireland. Maybe some people 5 miles, some people 2 miles, and that's the way it is. Just a close, wee country. And you make a great effort, and I really appreciate that. And I see that with my own eyes. But maybe some people could come back to church a second time. It's good to bring our children to the house of God, maybe twice. It's God's house. We come together to worship Him and to praise Him. And it's good to get our children taught that this is God's day. Today is God's day. Listen, not part of it. But this whole day is God's day. And let's give God the whole day in His house, if we can, if we're able, to come to the house of God. Let our children be taught this is God's house. We come here to praise Him. We come here to worship Him. We come here to listen to His word been preached. And that's it. I know sometimes children say, oh, I don't want to go. Oh, he doesn't want to go. You know yourself, and I was growing up, and I was not brought up in a Christian home. No, not at all. But we had to go to Sunday school. There was no ifs and buts about it. You were going. And that was it. And nowadays we find, of course, parents say, well, you don't want to go, it's no problem. You don't want to go to a youth fellowship, no problem. That should not be so. Listen, let us not sleep concerning our children. You see, teaching them the Bible is the most important thing in life. This book. Praying for their souls, their salvation, that God would raise them up, that they'd be pillars in the house of God, they'll be followers of Jesus Christ. The greatest blessing any parent here would have in this meeting is to see their children walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. That is my tax for my children, a four of them. No greater joy than to hear them walk in the truth. Let's pray for this. Let's work for this. And your congregation, the days that lie ahead with Dr. Potter coming, let's remember the children. Let's not leave the children behind. That's what Pharaoh said to Moses. Leave the children behind. Go you and worship. That's what the devil wants us to do today. He wants us to leave the children behind. And then he's got the future. He's got the future. If he gets our children. Oh, young people, can I say to you, before we move on, listen to your mom and dad. Some don't, of course. Tragedy. I always say to young people, two ways to learn in life. There's the easy way and there's a hard way. Well, we all had to put our hand up for you. We probably learned the hard way. But listen to your mom and dad. They know better. Listen to them when they seek to teach you the Bible. And they want you to listen to family worship and prayers. Don't stomp the heels and say, oh, I heard this before. Listen to what they're going to say. You'll never forget it. And you'll never regret listening to the word of the Lord being taught to you in your home. It was said of John Wesley, he said he learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians of England. His mother taught them. She had 19 children. Imagine having 19 children gathered around you. And she had a lot of rules for them, of course. And she has 16 rules. Rule number 6 required all to be still during family worship. If you weren't allowed to move at family worship. But listen, she remembered our children. I can say that there's things we can't do for our children. There are things children do for themselves. They won't listen to us. But let's do all we can to teach them and to pray for them and to lead them in the path of righteousness. So I say to you, let us not sleep then. In regards to the children. And I want to say, go to Mark chapter 14. And you want to turn to this passage. I never read it, but we'll read it together now. It's like a little topical sermon. We'll finish up with our text and the context of it. But Mark chapter 14. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to read at verse 32. And it says in Mark 14, verse 32, "And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be so amazed and be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it be possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And look at verse 37. "And he cometh and findeth them," listen, "sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepeth thou, couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them, listen, asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And what we find here, of course, is sleeping in the place of communion with God. These men were sleeping instead of praying. Think of the company. There was Peter, it tells us here. There were James and John, the top men in the church. The Lord Jesus Christ was with them. The Lord Jesus Christ was praying. He was crying with all of his heart unto his Father in heaven. But what were these men doing? They were sleeping. They were sleeping. Think of the crisis, not just the company. The Lord Jesus Christ was in great agony here. In Luke, for instance, chapter 22, verse 44, "And being in an agony, he prayed earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." He was in agony. He was crying from his very heart. Drops of blood was falling down to the ground. Where was Peter? Where was James? Where were John? Listen. They were sleeping. They were sleeping. The Lord Jesus actually said, "What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not pray with me for 1 hour, you see?" And here we're in people, I'm speaking here in this context of sleeping Christians. Instead of praying, they were sleeping. Instead of crying unto God together with the Lord Jesus Christ at a dark moment here in his earthly life, here were these men, these were mighty men of the church. And they were sleeping. They were sleeping when they should have been praying. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time to sleep. There is. But there's a time to pray. But they were sleeping concerning this. I tell you, child of God, today, when you and I come together to pray, the Lord is with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The days are dark and sin is abounding all around us. In this community, in this land, even of America. Well, I say to you, we certainly need to pray. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for souls. We need to certainly pray for your nation. We need to take time to pray. But some Christians, and I'm not saying all Christians, some Christians, when it comes to prayer, very little prayer in their life. Very little prayer. Not taking time to get alone with God, but spiritually sleeping. Maybe now I might say, doing other things. The devil will give you some other things to do. And the things you're doing may be perfect and right in their own place, but certainly you should be praying sometimes instead of spiritually sleeping. The child of God is to pray and to be a man or woman of prayer. We are to pray earnestly to God. Elias was a man subject to passion, the Bible says, as we are, and he prayed earnestly. And the word earnestly means he prayed in his prayer. He cried to God in his prayer. Listen, he wasn't sleeping. Have you fallen asleep, spiritually speaking, in your place of communion with God? Have you? What about your prayer life? Can you say to me that it's better today than it was many years ago? Or can you look back at a time of your life He said, my prayer life used to be far greater. You spend more time with God in the place of prayer and around His Word. You've got away from these things. You see, you're sleeping. You're sleeping. Let us not sleep. To do with our communion. Here were Peter, James, and John. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the very midst of them, or just a little bit from them, but they slept. They fell asleep when they should be praying. Let us not be sleepers when it comes to prayer. We are to pray earnestly. We are to pray with faith in the God of heaven. Because in Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We are to have faith in the God of heaven. He is a great, a loving, and He's a mighty God. Let us have faith in praying to Him. And the psalmist said in Psalm 55, verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. But I want you to think of this. He says, as for me, I will call upon God. What he said, I'll not be sleeping here. When it comes to the place of prayer and meeting with God, I will not be sleeping. You can count on me. I will call upon the Lord, you see. Connie Ten Boone, I'm sure you heard of her, she said this statement, is prayer your steering wheel or your spur tire? I hope you can pick up what she said. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spur tire? What she means by that, you only take the spur tire out when you need it. You wouldn't want to live your life like that. Let us not sleep. Let us pray. Listen, in the prayer meetings, now it's impossible for some people to come to the prayer meetings, and I'm not decrying that. It's hard for people to live a long way. But if you can come, do you come to the congregational prayer meeting here on Tuesday night? And to meet with God's people and to get around the Word of God and around the throne of grace. I said, Lord, we have come to seek Thy face. We have come to pray down the blessing of God upon this community and upon this work. Or do you just sleep? The devil says, take it easy. You've had a hard day. Listen, we all could stay at home on Tuesday night. I could stay at home as well. But let's put ourselves to prayer. Let's not be sleeping Christians. Let us not sleep. Well, we certainly should be praying. These men should have been praying. The Lord Jesus said to them, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? If I asked you today, what I'm not going to do publicly, of course, but how much time do you spend each day in prayer and reading your Bible? Would you fill 1 hour in the whole day? Or would you have to say to me, Noel, it's 5 minutes. 5 minutes. There's something wrong if it's only 5 minutes. There's something wrong. Let us not sleep in regarding our communion with God. Read history, and you'll read of men who spent hours with God alone. Spent maybe 2, 3, 4 hours in the morning with God alone in the place of prayer and reading and studying His Word. Let us not sleep in this matter. We've got to meet with God and come before the throne of grace in the place of prayer. Are you sleeping in this matter? In the communion with God and in prayer? That's one. Another way can I say, and I bring this out, in listening to sermons. Do you sleep? Now, I had to be careful here, because maybe the reason you sleep is I put you to sleep. And that right? So that can happen. That can happen. But some people sleep. And of course, you read in Acts chapter 20, a young man, and Paul was long preaching, he'd fallen down into a deep sleep. He fell asleep, you see. And you know something here? Some people fall asleep. Now, sometimes I can say to you, it is difficult sitting and listening to sermons without it. And granted, that happens to me. That happens to all of us. That happens to all of us about falling asleep. But I know churches, and I've been in them, I'm not speaking of this church, by the way, at home and other places, and you can nearly tell every week what so-and-so will be doing. And what do you think he'll be doing? He's sleeping. Every week, without fail. You could tell such and such a person. I know you could have a long night and you come in here and you're not. That happens to everyone. We're not against that. That happens. But to some people, every week you could say, oh, that's the one who sleeps all the time. That's the one who sleeps. How are we going to learn the Word of God if we fall asleep to sleep? Some professing Christians sleep during the sermon, and that's tragic. They sit under the Word of God and they get nothing out of the preaching. And they learn no lessons, you see, from the message. You see, let us not sleep in our communion with God. When we come to church, we come to praise Him, we come to listen to His Word being preached. Let us not sleep. Get your rest before you come to church. You say, well, I struggle. And we all can. Granted, I'm human as well as you. Let's make sure you get your rest before you come to God's house. And then you have your sleep over you. And you want to listen to the Word of God. So let me say, let us not sleep concerning our communion. Can I say in the third place, let us not sleep in regarding our service for Christ. Now, the Bible tells us that we are the servants of God. And God's people, and this is God's people even in this congregation, we are to be a witness for Christ in this dark and sinful age. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God. And notice the terminology here that is used. We're not loafers together. We're laborers together with God. God is with His people. He's with us when we go out with the message of the gospel. He stands by, He leads us, He empowers us, He helps us in order that we might serve Him. We're laborers together with God. Now, we're not to sleep in this matter. We are to be laborers for God. Over in Matthew chapter 13, if you turn to this, we'll get another instance of sleeping. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25. A parable, we'll get chapter of parables, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now notice this. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But notice that little phrase. When they were sleeping, something happened. But the Lord says here, the enemy came. He came and he put his tares among the wheat. He destroyed the crop. And we find here, of course, that the devil, while Christians are sleeping, the devil comes and he sows his seed among them. Of course, when we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, talks about his ministers. He puts them into pulpits, puts them into pews, puts them under eldership, puts them into run churches. While this all things are happening, God's people are sleeping. We need to be alert. We need to watch, you see. The congregation, the members of the congregation. Oh, the enemy, the devil, has taken ground that once belonged to the church of Jesus Christ. He puts in people into churches who's not saved. Puts people into pulpits who's not saved. Think of the modern worship that's going on today. He's just corrupting it. And I had a church in Scotland before I came here. And one night there was a meeting in the town. And it was held in the Roman Catholic Church, an ecumenical service. And the Baptist Church in Stranraer agreed to go to it. Would you imagine that? An evangelical, so-called evangelical Baptist Church, they agreed. Now, some of the members, some couple of them came to my church that night, or our church that night. But they agreed to go to an ecumenical service in the Church of Rome. You see, what is happening? They're sleeping. There are Christians and they are sleeping. There's something wrong. If such a congregation or church does such a thing, and the pews today, they are full of sleeping Christians. We're not to sleep regarding the service of Jesus Christ. Well, these men slept, the devil, he did his business. And if you sleep in these pews, and this congregation sleeps in the days that lie ahead, you'll find the devil will certainly plant his seeds at discord. And lies and deceit among the church. He does it all the time, you see. While we're sleeping. That's not sleep regarding the Great Commission. Remember, the Lord Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, this is our duty, the duty of the Church of Jesus Christ, to bring the gospel out into the world, into the community, into the town here of Malvern, into the villages all around. This is the duty of this congregation, to bring the gospel out and to preach Jesus Christ to the people. But are we sleeping concerning this matter? We're sleeping. We have to be honest with ourselves today. We can be sleeping Christians. As I said before, a statement, we cannot bring the whole world to Christ, but we must bring Christ to the whole world, you see. We bring Christ to them in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, are we sleeping? The Jehovah's Witnesses are not sleeping. The other cults are not sleeping. As I said earlier on, that Joan and I certainly have enjoyed our time here in America. Throughout the week, we went to Washington, D.C. We thought we'd take the plunge and go to it. I was glad I did go. A beautiful, beautiful city. I never have seen the likes of it. It was tremendous. And a beautiful weather. We had a great day. But no one struck me. And I walked out through the station. Door. Only landed. Standing over in the corner were the Jehovah's Witnesses. They were standing with their stone. And we drove around. The bus took us around the loop in different stops. Now, I'm not saying there was no Christians around, but I never saw one giving out tracts. And I saw a man outside the White House, and he was from the Muslim faith. He had all these names written on him and everything. He must have tried to make a point to President Trump. I don't know what he was doing, but this is why he was sitting outside with us all around him. But it would have been lovely to have seen a Christian giving out gospel tracts. It would have been lovely. I was in Belfast one day, and I saw the Jehovah's Witness on this street, and I saw the Jehovah's Witness on another street, and it was early in the morning, and I was walking through the streets, and I said, Lord, is there no witness for Christ here in this city? And I'm walking up the city of Belfast, and I saw a man with a tax Jesus Christ, and I never met the man in my life. And I walked over the street, and I got him by the hand, and I says, I'm glad to see you in the street. Stand for Jesus Christ. Are we sleeping in these matters of outreach work, of bringing the gospel? Why these men slept in Matthew? Listen, the devil sold his tares among the wheat. Let us not be sleeping Christians. Let us be a church that's alert and watching and up and doing for Jesus Christ. We have only one life. It will soon be past. It's only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Let us not be a sleeping church. Let us be active in evangelism and bringing the gospel to people. Let I say it lastly and very quickly, for our time is gone, and we're back to our text. Let us not sleep regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the context indeed where we find our text today. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. This is all to do, of course, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church. Let's not sleep concerning this tremendous truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning. He's coming back. Personally, he said, I will come again. Are you watching? Are you alert? Are you sober? Are you thinking about these things? It's coming mysteriously, of course, here in verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. So it is wrong for me, it is wrong for anyone to say, well, he's coming back in such and such a time. We don't know. We know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. We don't know the day. But listen, he's coming. And he's coming suddenly. Look at verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. One moment, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not here, and suddenly he will appear. As if out of nowhere. The coming of the Son of God. He will come gloriously. Matthew 25, verse 30 tells us he will come in glory. Let us not sleep in regarding the coming of the Son of God. Listen, do you ever think about the coming of Christ? Do you ever rise up and say, perhaps, Lord, you'll come today? Do you ever stop and think now, talk to your friends about the coming of the Son of God? He's coming from heaven. He's coming to take me home to be with him. Let us not sleep concerning the coming of the Son of God. So I say to you today, let us go to Bethel. We've looked at all these things. But let us not be a sleeping Christian. Let us be alert and live for Jesus Christ. And I trust that the Lord has blessed these little phrases to your heart each Sunday here. I hope they've changed your heart and changed your life. Maybe there are things you've had to put right in your life, and certainly for myself as well. But let us do these things. If you're unsaved, if the Lord Jesus comes back, are you ready? So therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If he came today, you're not ready. You're not prepared. You're not saved. You need to turn with all your heart and trust him, even the day, and he will save you. If anyone's any questions, like to speak to me, do speak with me the day after the service. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us. We pray you write thy word upon hearts, Lord. The little phrase, let us. And I pray, Lord, we've learnt lessons by it. Let us not be sleeping Christians. But Lord, let us be up and going for Christ and watch and be alert for the children. Lord, in our communion, in our service, in our coming for the Lord Jesus. He will come again and to bring his children home. Now I pray, thy blessing be upon us. We pray you watch over us. For those who can remain, bless them. For those who go home, take them to a home in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.